And we are back once again for the 378th time, if you can believe that, the Parish of the Patriots. Glad you could tune in this week. Looking forward to, who knows what all we're going to talk about. But there will be something in there, and we'll no doubt get into some Christian-specific stuff, maybe right off the bat. I'm not sure, even at this point, even at this stage of the game, I'm not sure what order and what all exactly we'll even discuss, which to me makes it more fun and interesting. If you hopefully you feel the same way too. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy, pay those tithes. I've got snail mail. That's all I have got. And just look there on the description page for the show where I write out, kind of make a vain attempt to give a summary of what the show is about. But the show is all over the place, so that is always pretty tough, and you can't always go completely by that. But anyway, if you look down in there, we got a snail mail address. Drop an envelope. It is always very much appreciated. And yes, this week we do have entries in the listener supporter mailbag, which honestly makes my life easier. Gives me jumping off points, so as to speak. So let's go ahead and get into this week's listener supporter mailbag. GPD, keep it up. That's from Triangle Whip. Appreciate it. The whip. The Triangle Whip. Let's see where we and moving on. And by the way, I always do really, I mean, kind of goes without saying, but I always do appreciate y'all's notes. I do edit them. I always try to remember to point this out, so nobody thinks, you know, like I'm only skimming them or something. I do edit them out sometimes just to, you know, keep things streaming along. A lot of times I'm very particular. Anything that I think is personally identifiable to a individual person, I edit those sorts of things out. Sometimes people will tell me, you know, very personal stuff about themselves. So obviously I'm not going to sit here and share on the show out of respect for you that's in it and others. So, you know, it, when it's like, oh, he didn't read. I read all of it. I really do. So I just, anyway, that out of the way. Let's see here. Let's move on next. Dear Radio Albion, thank you for your fine content. I have two friends who follow QAnon and the quote unquote plan. I got to stop. It amazes me that there's still people doing that. It's several things. It's delusion. People being mentally, spiritually unhealthy. It's a form of idolatry. They've created this false idol. The plan. Donald Trump, the plan. I still sometimes have a hard time wrapping my mind around that it's, to use the current year meme, but that it's 2026 and there's people still doing QAnon. I'm proud to say. There's a lot of things I'm not proud of in my life, which is just part of being human. But one of the things that I am proud of, I never did the QAnon thing. I have screwed up a lot of things, but I've never done QAnon. Okay, anyway, I've got two friends who follow QAnon and the plan. When asked about all of the people displaced, all of the dead people, it gets suddenly silent. It gets a silent reaction. Instead, we get what? More Palantir control. Yeah, more inflation. And of course, more going to Israel and the Ukraine. Writing this brings me down. And that's from R. And I just say R there because you do kind of have a little bit of a unique name. I fault on the side of, again, maintaining y'all's anonymity and privacy. Yeah. I tell you what, I've been having to do a lot of driving the last few days. And every time I'm driving around what I describe here in America as our third world tier roads, I just think of all the money that you know, we've got plenty of money to send to Israel and the Ukraine. But we just have to tolerate driving around on third world tier roads. You're driving along and all of a sudden there's places the road is just buckled underneath. The base is gone. And so the whole road just does this buckle thing. And if you ain't holding on tight, you're like on the bucking bull, you may get slung off. It's a miracle we don't have more wrecks than we do. This is why we can't have nice things. It's part of the democracy system. You know, I remember growing up and, you know, whenever people or even still today, but, you know, you'll have people, they're quick to correct you, you know, if you say democracy, this is a representative republic because the founding fathers, you see, they understood that a democracy was a horrible thing and a democracy can only last as long as until the people figure out that they can vote themselves money out of the public coffers. How many times have y'all heard that one? You know? Oh, you're dumb. This is not a democracy, buddy. Our founders set up a representative republic, which is way better because we've got a constitution, right? And then you'll always get that quote. A democracy can only last as long as until the public figures out that they can vote themselves money out of the public coffers. Well, let's see how this whole representative republic constitution thing has worked out. I wish we could vote ourselves some money out of the public coffers. Maybe we could have roads at work. Let's see. If a democracy means the public starts voting themselves tax money, then this representative republic means it lasts as long as the representatives can be purchased by a foreign nation to then vote themselves money out of the public coffers. I don't know about you or me, but I would rather have us get the money than Israel or the Ukraine or whoever the hell else. But most of, let's be honest, the biggest welfare queen is Israel. We all know it. You know it. I know it. We're at the point that pretty much everybody knows it, except maybe the people still following QAnon. They may not, but other than those poor deluded souls, everybody else knows. Remember during the whole COVID scam, the COVID psyop, and they did the stimulus checks, and that's always what gets the conservatives are always, that's the first thing they, the stimulus check. You want to know why we have inflation? Well, the government just handed out money to the people. Out of all the money they've spent on wars, just one war, hell, just Afghanistan, you name it. How much inflation might that have caused? That ain't it, buddy. The fact that you got a $1,200 check for nothing from the government. You see, that's you and your $1,200 check. That's why everything costs so much. If you ever read Ayn Rand or, free market, you'd understand why we got inflation. What about these, trillion dollars for war here and there? What about the billions that the government sends to Israel every year? That don't count for the inflation. It's because you got some. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can run a country just voting yourselves money, but I've always find it hilarious that they talk about, oh, the public will start voting themselves money out of the public coffers versus what we have now where a foreign country owns our politicians and they vote themselves money out of the public coffers. It's a lot better. If you weren't stupid, you would know that. It's also tiring. But they do. People pick and choose. You know, pick and choose. I cringe every time they talk about those stimulus checks. Boy, that just made inflation run away. You know, I'm sure it didn't help. But they still, you know, they still collect more money from us than they gave out. And what about the money going to Israel? Most of the, it's just, anyway. You know, talking about stimulus checks, what happened to Trump? And remember, we were all going to get Doge checks. At one point in time, he was talking about $5,000 a person. We're saving so much money, Bigly. We can easily pay the people $5,000 a piece. Then went down to like $3,000 or something. Then it was $2,000. I ain't still seen no money, and ain't none of y'all either. Getting no money. Israel damn sure does. Let's see here. We got one more here. I save this one for last because it'll give us another jumping off point for the show here. Brother Dan, I just wanted to drop a line to say thank you for sticking with it. There were times you sounded, to put it quite plainly, over it. And I'll stop there. Yeah. ain't gonna lie, sometimes I am still very over it. No. We're on episode 378. I sometimes can't believe, and that's not counting daily national shows, roundtables. Sometimes I'm shocked that I'm still doing this. Let's see here. Let's continue on. I, and I'm sure many others, always enjoy the refreshing perspective that you bring to the table. I do believe you're getting better all the time. I wish I had the means to do more financially, but as a retired lady working part-time, I'm feeling the ever-tightening squeeze myself. I can and do pray, however, so that is what I do. What are your thoughts on Malachi 3, 8 through 12? Maybe you've covered this before, but I don't remember. I know you don't like to ask for support, and that's commendable, but we all need it. I was once a part of the Word of Faith Church, and they certainly had no problem using these verses to beat this out of the people. I feel they have tainted those for me. So I'd be interested in your perspective on this. May Yahweh richly bless you and yours. That's from Kim. Thank you very much. So, okay, but you know, we'll just go straight to it. I already, because I'm not one of those people. I used to have, I've said this before. I remember when I was a kid, and I'd be impressed when there was somebody who could just sit there and go, you know. They sit there and say, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 says, right off the top of their head. And I thought, boy, that means they know a lot about the Bible. As I've gotten older, I've come to realize, no, that means they have exceptional memory ability, you know, memorization skills. It doesn't translate to they really understand the Bible. So I have a pretty good idea what the verses were, though, or what they would be related to. And it's a interesting thing because it does give us the opportunity to point out how these things are manipulated. First, we'll just read these verses. What did we say? 8 through 12. Okay. So we'll do like what they do in these churches that you're talking about here. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 says, will a man rob God? I have to use my evangelical voice here, so y'all bear with me. Will a man rob God? I mean, you can imagine I'm one of those prosperity preachers too while I'm doing that. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. For if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer of for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Either shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I couldn't hold up the prosperity preacher imitation long enough. This is a classic case, once again. You always want to, when somebody's trying to push something and they cherry pick, you know, even an antichrist or, you know, a church, a preacher that's doing one of those tithe sermons, try to increase income for the church and for himself. You always want to, a big red flag is when people just read, just, you know, here is what the Bible says. And you read that and it sounds like, oh man, we got to give our 10%, right? In such cases, and I'm not going to sit here and read it all because y'all can do that yourselves, and it's listen to somebody read and drone on. In one of those cases, I always recommend, of course, the Bible itself has to be understood in entire context. That's why we should always be reading and studying our Bibles. If you know, hopefully you can find the time. I know it's hard. It's part of the reason our society is structured the way it is to make sure that people do not have time to set and focus their hearts on God. They're too busy working all the time. It's just, there's one of the reasons we live in this, society structured the way it is. But in such case, you back up, if you were to back up, and again, I'm not going to sit here and read it, put you to sleep. But if you go ahead and back up all the way to the beginning of chapter 3 and read the entire context, then what is being said is not just some narrow message about give money to God. Just give money to God. Well, God doesn't have an account here, so you know, it's not like you can write a check out to God and send it to him. So I'll just have to be the intermediary. Go ahead and write a check to me and put it in the offering plate, and we'll be sure God gets it. That's basically what these preachers are saying. And then again, you've got the, it's going to be abundant when you tie it to the Lord. Now, it's interesting because if you back all the way up to the beginning of chapter 3, it starts off, starting at verse 1, it's obviously laying groundwork prophesying towards the time of Christ. Now, then it goes into the lack of justice, depriving people, treating people unfairly, that is going on. So in this sense, tithe is talking about the people have turned their hearts away from the Lord. In other words, in the verses that we did read here, the tithe is being used as, a metaphor, an example of how the people have turned their hearts away from God. But if you read before this, it's going into, depriving the worker of his wages, justice denied, corruption in the system. All of these things are going wrong. And then he gets into the tithes. So, it is, in other words, leading up to this, it's spelled out all the ways in which things have gone badly. The nation is in decline, but this is what's going on. Your nation is, it's like we do here, talking about the West, talking about for us here in the U.S., talking about how this country is going downhill. I wonder why. And you pointing out all of the reasons, same reasons he's laying out here. Rampant corruption, people stealing, people denying justice, people not being able to find justice. It's all laid out here. The people have turned away. He says all of these things have gone on. Your country is in decline. Your nation is in decline. You wonder why. Here's all the ways in which you've turned away from the rules or from the laws of God. See, all of that gets left out so we can get a message about how you need to give me money. Seriously, just go back to the beginning of chapter 3 and start reading through. And then you start seeing some context when you're able to step back and think of it in the context of the entire Bible. It's not that complicated, but you can just back up to the beginning of chapter 3. He lays out, here's why you have all of these problems. Here's all the ways in which you've turned away from me. He gets into the tithe and it shows as a, you've turned your hearts away from God. In other words, you're a godless people. You get godless results. Now, when it comes to tithes, because it does, this isn't the only verses that get used. They must get like when a preacher graduates from seminary school, they must get a little handbook of handy verses. When it's time to punch the people up like you're having a fundraiser. I remember being a kid, I would go to church, and there was just, you could almost set your timer, or set your calendar rather. Because about every so often, say about every 2-3 months, it was basically a fundraiser. You were going to get a tithing sermon, whether you wanted it or not. You were going to get a tithing sermon. And it was, I remember we'd go in, I was a little kid, we'd go in and sit in the church. And then, like 2 minutes in, you knew where the preacher was going, because they're going to use a verse. They start off our Bible verses today, and they would read like what we've read here, the book of Malachi. It's like, it's going to be one of those. Anytime they come up with tithes in the modern context, remember this. Just remember what the system was. I have talked about this before, but it bears repeating. And again, this is where the context of the entirety of the Bible always comes into play. When somebody cherry picks Bible verses, remember Jesus being tempted in the desert? Because what was the devil doing? He was throwing Bible verses at him. He was throwing scripture at him. So just because somebody can throw verses at you does not mean it's godly truth. Again, Jesus tempted in the desert. What was it? You read that. And what is the devil doing? He's quoting scripture at him. Must be right, huh? No, of course not. Because why? Context matters. When you read the Old Testament and they talk about tithes, well, it was, you know, giving their 10%. Well, you had the 12 tribes. And when God brought them into their land, each tribe got basically an allotment. This area was theirs. And they're all what? Farming, running sheep, running cattle. What we would call farming and ranching. It was an agricultural-centered society, obviously, back then. So each tribe got their land. And this was y'all's area to avoid conflict. And you own it now. And now this is where your cattle graze. This is where you grow your crops. Except for Levi. Levi didn't. Because Levi got handed the tribe. Levi, they got handed the responsibility of maintaining the temple, you know, the sacrifices, making sure the business of the Lord got taken care of. Well, if they don't have a place, if they're not running cattle and sheep and whatever else, they don't have a way to make a living. They're going to starve to death, basically. How are they going to make any money? The other tribes can sell their goats, sell their sheep, sell their cattle. Not Levi. They're too busy. They're supposed to handle, you know, the temple of the Lord. So the way they made their, the others contributed. You think about it, actually, percentage-wise, it comes out. You have the other 11 tribes. If they all contribute 10%, that means Levi makes the same amount plus 10% because of the 11. But, you know, everybody's not always going to give 10%. I mean, come on, even in those days. So that extra, that 11th, which would be an extra like 10% or so, that makes up that difference. So they come out basically equal among the tribes. But they didn't, again, they didn't, they weren't out there raising cattle and stuff. They were the one group that got assigned, no, you're going to maintain the temple. You're going to do these things for the Lord. How are they going to support themselves? They didn't get any land like the other guys did. This was what they got instead. Now, context. Bear with me. I'm not going to beat this to death. We are going to move on. Now, again, context of the whole. The Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament, in his letters, he points out that when he was among the early churches, he says, I worked with my own hands while I was among you. I worked with my own hands. I wasn't a burden to you. I could have been, because, I mean, good night, I'm bringing you the news of salvation for your very souls, but I didn't. I worked among you with my own hands. So Paul is talking about, he would go in, and he's there teaching when he's not preaching the word. He's over there doing carpentry work or helping out the stonemasons or whatever, helping grind the corn. He's working with his hands. He wasn't demanding 10%. But the church, if what's happening now, they're going to tell you you ought to be giving them 10% and guilting you if you're not. That don't sound right, does it? So see, always when you know that context, it doesn't matter when they throw scripture lines at you about tithing. You know, Paul was working with his own hands. Why? Because he wasn't a Levite. Even then, those days were done. All of the other tribes had lost their land allotment. So it was a moot point. Whether if you were of the tribe of Benjamin, Levi, whatever, you could go do whatever because nobody had any land. They got taken over. They lost their nation because they became a godless people. And Paul is out there writing in his letters about when I'm among you, you know, I'm working with my own hands. I'm not asking for nobody's charity. He's setting that example, and yet you have a church today talking about, oh, let's go back here to the Old Testament. You're supposed to be tithing. Why aren't you tithing? And you can get your ass out and work. I mean, what do you want about? But anyway, I do appreciate y'all when you do send something. But yeah, I'm not ever going to sit here and use Bible verses to try to browbeat the listeners. Y'all need to send me money. And that's not some kind of, you know, like I'm trying to look like, oh, well, look how he is. It just, when you understand the context, you understand, you know. And that's why I always say, if you get something out of the show and you want to put something in there, I appreciate it. You get in the show regardless. You know, we're not charging for this. There ain't nothing behind a paywall. I used to joke that you might think there's something behind a paywall, the good stuff, but this is as good as it gets because it's all there is. And then, you know, we have the P.O. box there. I've got the P.O. box there for y'all, basically. In my view, if y'all get something out and y'all want to put something in, y'all have the avenue to do that. And it is appreciated. When I hear from y'all that you're praying and praying for me, and all of us are doing what we can, and the other believers, and I get notes that say, hey, I really got something out of it. That's good stuff, because yeah, there are those days when I am so over it. And I'm like, you know, I've pretty much said all I need to say, but we're not going to run out of things to say one way or the other. What do we got here? Well, we burned up 26 minutes here. Talking about Bible verses being abused. We get a lot of that. It aggravates me because, you know, so many people have turned away from the faith. I mean, it is what it is. And when you have self-professed Christians going out there and looking like idiots, it isn't constructive. It doesn't help the situation. I saw a clip the other day, and here's another one of these self-professed Christians. I don't know who the guy was. He was doing some video podcast. I don't do video podcasts. I always say I got a face made for radio, man. I got a face made for radio. And, and he whips out the thing. He tells the person he's talking to, he's like, well, I support Israel. My support for Israel
is based on my Christian faith in the book of Genesis. And there you go.
It's just like this here. No contextual understanding. It's one of those things. I know I brought it up, but as a believer, it's one of those things that gets under my skin every time I hear somebody say, "My support for Israel is based on my Christian faith in Genesis 12." It was hilarious when Tucker Carlson was nailing Ted Cruz down on this, and Ted Cruz right there, well, I support Israel because God said he will bless Israel. And Tucker was like, well, where does that say that? And like, you know, Ted Cruz had just got done saying, this is what I base my entire belief on, one verse out of this massive book. And you would think you would at least know the one verse. You know, I was just saying earlier, you know, that I can't sit here and off the top of my head tell you what chapter, what verse, because I don't have that good of a memory. I can tell you what's in there, but I have to go look it up, see exactly where it is, so I look impressive and tell you what chapter and verse it is, but I can't do it off the top of my head. But if I was basing the entirety of my faith off of one verse or a set of verses, I would be able to tell you. And Tucker wound up having to tell Ted Cruz, who just got done saying his whole faith is based on one set of verses out of the book of Genesis. And Tucker finally had to tell him where it was. This is how disingenuous these people are, man.
My support for Israel is based on my Christian faith in the book of Genesis, where God says, I will bless those who bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. And that's why I support Israel.
I don't mean to beat this point to death, but it's everywhere I go. I don't think I can go through a week without some moron going, because God said I will let that be. I'm going to continue. I don't care. I'm going to continue to rebuke that because it's untruthful. It is not of the truth. It is verbally, and we can demonstrate that it is a lie. And we know who the father of lies are. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to get into some of this, in this inconsistency of those who make this claim. Those who use the Bible to justify their quote-unquote support for the modern nation state of Israel. My first, I don't know about y'all, and I bet y'all the same way, but whenever you hear one of these jokers, in your first reaction is, oh, he's getting the check, right? We're doing what? This is episode 378. If I sat down here next week, did episode 379, and I was on here and I was like, the whole show, I did the whole show on, you know, I've seen the light. Man, I was asleep. And I don't even feel comfortable making a joke out of it because I take these things seriously. But if I came on here next week and did a show about how I've seen the light and God wants us to bless Israel and I realize the error of my ways and I repent of this and I'm telling you, we're all wrong. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is basically a modern day prophet from God. Israel cats. You know. Smotrich, we need to listen to these guys. These are God's chosen people, and we have got. If I did that, if I came on here for episode 379 and did that, what would y'all all think? Y'all be like, my gosh, he got a check. He either got a check, or you know, like there's a Mossad agent standing there with a pistol pointed at his head. That's my reaction. Well, every time I hear one of these clowns, I'm like, oh, he's getting the check. You know, I talk to people in real life and they're like, man, I don't understand why these so many of these preachers are on and on about Israel all the time. And I always tell people always give me this shocked look. I tell them because they're getting paid. Why do you think they're on TV? Why do you think they have a mega church? My gosh, the man is standing up there preaching with a giant Israeli flag hanging behind him. It's not really subtle. Guy's wearing a suit that costs thousands of dollars. Guy wearing a suit, between his suit and his jewelry, it's worth more than most of y'all make a month, me included. Talking about where you got it, we got to support Israel. Well, I wonder why. It's not hard to figure this out. I don't have to have the documents. It's right there. He's getting the check. You know, they're, Honda, the car company, you're asking, where the hell is he going now? Bear with me. Honda, you know, all these car companies got off on this EV bandwagon. It's turned out very badly for them. But Honda had to join the bandwagon and introduce an EV of their own. But see, they were a little smarter. Instead of spending a bunch of money developing an EV, because let's face it, once you take the body off, everything underneath there is basically the same on all of them. It's a battery pack with some electric motors. They're probably all made by the same company. So what Honda did is they got a Chevrolet. They got a Chevrolet and put a different skin on it. We call that rebadging or reskinning. You know, like in a video game, a reskin. You're playing the same character, but you can put a different likeness on it. That's what Honda did with their EV. They were losing money on the EV thing, too, but they didn't lose as much as the others because they didn't spend billions of dollars developing a new EV. They just reskinned a Chevrolet and called it a Honda, put a badge, just slapped the Honda H on the front and said, this is our EV, but you were getting a Chevrolet. That is the equivalent of what the modern nation state of Israel is. That's how much they have to do with Israel of the Bible. I don't know any other simpler, more clear way to put it. They slapped the name on it. That's it. That is what it has in common with Israel in the Bible. That's it. It stops there. There's no other commonality. It's a rebadge. They just rebadged it. They could have called it anything. I could think of all sorts of funny, more humorous names. Honestly, if they went with one of my humorous names, I might be slightly more sympathetic towards him. Merchant land of the Middle East? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just they happened to slap that badge on it for why? Same reason. Why didn't Honda just leave the Chevy badge on it? Because they're marketing it as Honda. That's why they slapped the Israel name on their little crime base in the Middle East. Because they're marketing it as Israel of the Bible. They know it's not. And honestly, Christian believers should know it's not. Two. When I get exasperated with these people and their Genesis says that we should bless those who bless them. I said earlier that we know this is a lie. I like to use the term. I was friends with this years ago. I had a friend. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Don't even know if he's still alive. One of those kind of friends. When you get old enough, see, when you're young, you say, oh, I got a friend and I hadn't seen him in a while. I hope he's doing okay. But you live long enough, you have to change that. And you're like, I had a friend a long time ago. I don't know if he's still alive. The older you get, the more you put that addendum on there. But I had a friend, a guy I worked with many years ago. This big, tall, black guy. And he would always say, he loved to say, that's a lie from hell. And I can't say it the way he would say it. You know, that's a lie from hell. That's what I always want to say. That's a lie from hell. I always like that term. Still want to use it from time to time. That's a lie from hell. God will bless those who bless Israel. That's not what it says. For starters, that isn't even what it says. God is talking to Abraham. But before I do that, see, I told y'all this sets me off every time. I could wind up having the same talk every single week. What I always want to ask these people when they do that, and I have yet to hear anybody, you know, in one of these conversations retort with what I would retort with, which is not to sit there and argue scripture or argue, you know, even what I've just pointed out, the rebranding. You know, I thought to myself, because I don't do debates, they're pointless and stupid and a waste of time. But I do. I can't help it. I think sometimes, you know, what would I say if I was sitting there with this person with a straight face says, well, Genesis says God will bless those who bless Israel. That's why I support Israel, because of my Christian faith. After I choked down my righteous indignation at that, I would say the way I would respond is to ask, if that is true, then where is the blessing? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. See, I read this the other day in my regular Bible study. It isn't because I just know it like a human dictionary. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. I wrote this down because it struck me. It says, the way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever therein shall not know peace. There's your blessing. If you really honestly, and again, most of the time I just think these people are just, they took the check. So that this is what they paid to go out and say. Hoping that gullible Christian people will go, yeah, I better believe. Yeah. I better support him because the Bible says. But it's a lie from hell. Why is it a lie from hell? Because the results speak for themselves. What we just read here in Isaiah. The results speak for themselves. If you believe that, then we ought to be living in the land of milk and honey, because I guess we're defining blessing as giving them lots of money, running a cover for their genocide operations of all sorts. But, you know, being glad that they're buying all of our politicians off like discount bargain items, like the dented cans, you know, you get them cheaper because they're dented. Where the hell's the blessing? If it's true, then we should be seeing lots of blessing. And we live in a shithole. We live in a country that is spiraling downhill. So things are not getting better. They're getting worse. So if you claim this support is because Genesis, God said he will bless those, then where the hell's the blessing? Because either one of two things, you're wrong and you're promoting a lie, or God's a liar. God told a fib. Just the results. What I'm saying is just the results. You can go just forget getting into the scripture, whatever. The results. Okay, you believe that. Yes, where the hell's my blessing then? I think more often than not, your response would be, it would be worse. You think it's bad now, buddy? The only reason it's not even worse is because of our support for Israel. Okay, well, that's a non-definable metric. You know? If you're living in a dungeon, if you're scraping around filthy in a dungeon cell with a piece of bread to eat, you could sit there and still say, it could always be worse. If your blessing is, it could be worse, that's not a blessing. Just where are the results? Where's the blessing? Anyway. I keep trying to move on, and it gets me so riled up. Isn't it funny? For starters, if you read that quote in Genesis, he's talking to Abraham, which wasn't even Abraham. He'd named him Abraham later, but that was to him specifically, talking to him. And there's a lot of, you know, ifs always connect, but somehow they apply it to the rebadge. But isn't it funny how these people will pick and choose. They will tell you they literally believe everything literally. Let me put it a different way, because believe everything. They interpret everything literally in the Bible. There are no metaphors. There are no illustrations. These are the people who will sit here and rack their brains going through Revelation over and over trying to tell you this verse is talking about the United States. Or back when I was a kid, these verses clearly are talking about the Soviet Union. That didn't age well. You know, on the one hand, they will do this. You have those people who read where when Jesus, you know, sent out the disciples, you know, and told them don't, you know, when the apostles went out, they told them, you know, if you get bitten by a snake, you're not going to be harmed because they had work to do. You don't got to worry about these sorts of things that other people got to worry about because I got things for you to do. So even if you get snake bit, you're not going to be harmed. Just until you've got to fulfill your mission. And these people read it literally and they up there in their church holding up, getting the snake out. Because they act like that applied to them specifically when it's obvious Jesus was giving these instructions to those specific people. And you got these snake handlers up there pulling rattlesnakes out going, oh, the Lord says I won't be bitten. And then sometimes they get bit. You're not supposed to notice that. I think it's like watching NASCAR. You were sitting in one of them churches watching them snake handlers. I think it's like watching NASCAR. Only reason anyone watches NASCAR is for the wrecks. They're not going, man, I hope they don't wreck. Every one of them deep down inside are going, we're going to see a big crash today. That's why the Daytona is one of the more popular races, because they're known for having huge wrecks. NASCAR is like, we got to do something to minimize the wrecks. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? That's the only reason anyone watches that shit, is they hoping to see some wrecks. I think people in them congregations, same way. They're sitting there hoping. They're not going to say it. And they deny it if you ask them. But deep down inside, they're thinking, I'm going to see some fool get snake bit today. And it's going to be funny. The hardest part is going to be not laughing. They handling snakes. Because they act like that's literal. Jesus was talking to them. No, he was talking to the apostles at that time. That was very specific to them. Not your dumb ass up there grabbing a box full of rattlesnakes. Same people read in the book of Acts that they could speak in, no, they were speaking in tongues, so they jump up in the aisle going, tongues translated means literally other languages. It says when they spoke in tongues, there were all these other nationalities of people there from other nations, and they were all hearing their own language being spoken by these various people who obviously had no reason to believe they could speak that language. They were literally talking language, not gibberish. That's why it was a miracle. You know? They sit there and try to literally interpret everything, and then when you point out that, well, the only biblical people you can see a correlation to between modern nation state Israel and anybody in the Bible, because when you read about King David and the mighty men and some, you know, there's like no resemblance at all. I mean, it's obviously not the same people. The only characters in the Bible that resemble these people today are the Pharisees. And the very people who twist themselves up in pretzels to read everything, to put some kind of literal, personal, applies today. I mean, if they can't apply it to themselves personally, it at least applies specifically today about everything in the Bible. Except for like that part where Jesus says, you're children of the devil. He wasn't talking about that. No, that was just that Pharisee he was talking to. All of a sudden, the same people will say Genesis means all of these people that are sitting here slaughtering people with wanton abandon today, but God was actually talking about them, even though he's talking to Abraham. Well, then, though, when Jesus said, you are children of the devil, you do your father's work, liar and a murderer and all of that. No, that's not about these guys. He was talking about that one specific Pharisee he was talking. Isn't it funny how they pick and choose that? He was just talking about that one Pharisee.
I didn't even intend, I didn't even start today's show intending for the whole thing to be Christian specific. I didn't. I was actually going to talk about lizard people today. I'm not even joking. I'm going to try to do it next week. Oh, maybe I'll tag it on the end because it really doesn't warrant that much discussion. But I kid you not. I go in. I guess so. We just, like I said, I don't even know what the show's going to be about when I start doing the show. I'm looking at the time. I'm like, that much time has gone by? Basically, the whole show has become Christian specific this week. But I don't care. I mean, that's what I care about anyway. But it was literally by the top of my head, my general idea of what I might kick off with is talking about lizard people. I want to talk about the lizard people, damn it. Instead, it's all good. If it's, we're not shifting the lizard people, at least not yet. I may get lizard people in before we end here, by the way. I said I would do it next week. We might get lizard people slid in here. So that's a bait. Be like, make sure you listen to the whole rest of the other, 10 minutes or so we got left. Let's see if he gets into the lizard people. On the same vein of what we've been talking about, and I'm not going to sit here and read verses here because it would take a minute, but if you look in Luke chapter 2, off this totally off the top of my head, by the way. No, it isn't. But in Luke chapter 2, verses 23 through 38 gives the lineage. And there are several places in the Bible where they do this. You know, was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who is the son of so-and-so. And they go all the way back to David, to Abraham, and at the very end, who was the son of Adam. I always find it impressive that they can sit there and trace their genealogy. You know, at that time, because you think about it, this was all mostly done verbally. You know, they would learn their lineage. I was a part of their upbringing. They would learn, you know, A child would know who his father was. Then he would find out who his father's father and so on down the road. And they could do this all the way back to Adam, first man. Now 23 of me, and they's harvesting your DNA. So for some kind of weirdo experiments is all you get. In other words, you can't do that. Neither can I. And neither can any of these people living in the so-called Israel today. This is the other part of this. I support Israel because of the God said in Genesis to Abraham. Let's hear one of them tell their lineage all the way back to Abraham and all the way back to Adam. They can't. I can't either. I'm not, you know, acting like I could. But my point is, I can't do that. You can't do that like they could do then. But neither can these. How come they get a copyright on God, what God said to Abraham? Somehow that's theirs. They just get a copy. Don't get a copyright strike. Get a copyright on that. That applies. That's theirs. Why? Can they sit there and tell you their lineage? That's why they spell out lineage in the Bible, because that's to show it's legit. They knew who their fathers were all the way back through David, through Abraham, all the way to Adam. This was to establish their legit in this line, in this hereditary line. But nobody can do that anymore. You know? I always say when people get bogged down in that, you know, it is like an American, you know, I have some Irish heritage along with other stuff, but, you know, it doesn't mean I'm Irish. I would be a fool trying to show up in Ireland and be like, you know, I'm Irish. They would be like, no, you're not. You might have some lineage, some Irish mixed in there somewhere. That's why you're always talking about we got to get the Brits out of Ireland. The revolutionary spirit of the Irish. But I'm not Irish because I got all kinds of stuff mixed in there, because that's why we can't trace our heritage, our lineage, all the way back to the first man, Adam, because we've been to all sorts of stuff. Like I say, Americans are like the modern day example of what happens. I can't claim to be English, Irish, a Scotsman, German, because there's probably a little bit of all that in there. So what am I? I'm just an Amerimut, I guess. And that's what you get into when people, you know. Now, America's not been around that long. And that's what you got, right? Because all these people came here and then they started, you know, obviously marrying and having children and getting all mixed up and mashed up to where we have this, you know, you don't know. I can't claim to be this, that, or the other. And now you look at all of this time has gone by, and yet people are just sure that these folks squatting over there in the Middle East are just Israel, the Bible. How could they not be? They got the same name and everything. And that's what I say, and what I mean to point out with that is it's useless to sit there, to me, and try to get hung up on, you know, this genetic lineage. Because no one can sit here and trace it back. If you trust these DNA companies, I don't even know what to tell you on that shit, because it's a lie. You just paying them to take your genetic information that they're going to turn around and sell or experiment or whatever for profit. My point is the original Israelites, what happened to them is what has happened to people that came to America. Only it happened to them over a much longer time frame. They lost their country. They wound up spreading out, ultimately winding up in Europe because the climate changed, but you know, and they living among all these various people, and they're intermingling and reproducing and having kids, and their kids marry these other people. It's you can't sit here, but they can't either. And they shouldn't get a pass to be able to do that, because it's just manipulative. That's why I don't get hung up on, you know, well, who are the real Israelites? Man, what's a real American? You know, I mean, am I an Irishman? I'm Scotsman? Well, no, I don't get to be any of those things. Because why? Over the years, we diversified our genetics. You know, some people maybe not for the better, but the genetics have definitely been diversified. That's why I think it's a pointless exercise to get hung up on this. But these people that are there now, they don't have any sort of special claim either, but they want you to think they do. And which I always find humorous because, again, the only people, as I've said already, the only people they resemble character-wise from their fruits you will know them in the Bible are the Pharisees. But that doesn't apply to them either. So I got 5 minutes left. Let's do lizard people. Let's do lizard people. Y'all heard of the lizard people, right? The reptilians. The reptilians are among us. They're getting a lot of airtime, too, because, you know, Trump doing all this crazy talk that they're doing, this aliens. They all these aliens, and they putting out all the, don't pay so much attention. They're constantly psyoping us. And what I mean by that is mentally conditioning us, keeping us upset, keeping us angry, keeping us off balance. They talking about Trump released a picture on his True Social of him standing around with supposed to be aliens and then quickly took it down. No comment. This is to keep people constantly stirred up. They don't know what's going on. They're confused. How do you combat that? Turn that shit off. Seriously, turn it off. Quit taking the heroin. That's how you stop. How do I get off meth, Dan? Stop taking the meth. That's where you got to start. Turn it off. Now, I'm not saying just tune the world out altogether. Limit yourself to that. But anyway, lizard people. I want to talk about the lizard people. A lot of people talking about the lizard people. You know, because they're talking about, you know, some of these aliens are reptilians. And there have been papers put out saying they're living among us, the reptilian people. It seems like a silly thing, don't it? But then I got to thinking about it. See, I entertain things in the back of my head, and then sometimes I got to come back to them and go, maybe that conspiracy isn't so wacky after all. Anytime I'm told by the system that something is so far out there, you shouldn't even consider it, that makes me want to consider it. I don't feel threatened considering something like, oh, I dare not even consider that. Why would I think that? Who told me that? And why did they tell me that? You know, I can consider anything. Toss it around in my head. And sometimes I wind up just laughing and tossing it back out of my head. But when you consider the scale, the pure sheer scale by which we are lied to, is anything really off limits? Now, I always warn people, you know, you don't want to go like just so far down the conspiracy road that literally you can't believe anything. You know, you think your neighbor, you don't want to start getting into the realm of paranoia where your neighbor is spying on you and you know, I don't know, just gets crazy, you know. But being able to consider things. Anyway. I'm so close to getting off in it, but I don't have enough time because I told you we're going to talk about lizard people. I watched a video clip the other day and they were doing an interview. It was one of those, you know, online interview things. What do I want to say? I'm old. I want to say a Skype interview, but it ain't Skype. They got what, Teams and that other thing that people were using a lot during the pandemic. You know, where everybody get online and you're not having a face-to-face meeting on the, you know what I mean, on the computer. They were doing an interview with Jared Kushner and about some latest money scam he was running, calling it a business venture, but it's a money scam. But what really struck me is I'm like, this guy literally looks like a lizard trying, you know, wearing a human skin suit. And he looks really worried that people are going to realize that he's a lizard under there. I start thinking about these other lizard people. You know, I mean, it's been a meme and a joke for a long time about how, dadgummit, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, he looks like a lizard wearing a skin suit. Peter Thiel, somebody brought up, one of our listeners brought up Palantir. Peter Thiel, the guy literally looks like a lizard wearing some makeup and like hoping that it doesn't run off. It doesn't melt before the, maybe lizards put out a lot of heat and their makeup will melt off after a given amount of time. So they're always worried. They're watching the clock. I got to wrap this up because otherwise it's all going to melt off and you're going to see the lizard underneath. No, but it did. It struck me. I'm looking at Jared Kushner and I start thinking of these other people. And I'm thinking, you know, really, honestly, this guy looks like a lizard wearing some kind of, I don't know, makeup, combination of makeup, a skin suit. I don't know. Peter Thiel looks like he can't sweat. Like they've had interviews. You see interviews of him and like, you know, it's like the makeup is so soft. So they started oiling him up. They started, looks like they started, well, I say they started, I shouldn't say that definitively because I don't know, but he looks like they poured oil on him so it would look like he's sweating. Only you can tell it's just oil on him. So they put oil on him so he looks like, we got to take the makeup to another tier. So they literally look like, it just really struck me. You know, and I started thinking, maybe there's something to this lizard people thing. I'm looking at Jared Kushner and the guy literally looks like a lizard who's scared to death that people are going to figure out what he is. Now, obviously, I'm not saying they're lizard people. But I do find it interesting. I'm like, what are they, though? You know, maybe they're just really weird, eccentric people. But why do they just like, I don't know. I'm a belief that we've gotten too far away from our instincts. You know, and we see something and have an instinctual reaction to it, you know, and all of this nonsense we get raised up with, don't judge a book by its cover, and you can't go by that. You should go by that. You know, when you see somebody and your instinct is the same as if you were walking through the bushes and suddenly you look down and you were about to step on a snake and you jump back. And you have that same instinct. You look at somebody and you're like, the same instinct, like I'm seeing a lizard and you jump back. I think we should trust our instincts. I look at these people and I'm thinking there's something off. We don't look normal. I don't know. And like I say, I want to be clear. I'm not claiming they're lizard people, but there's something wrong. Hell, Mark Zuckerberg himself has made talks where he says something along lines, I'm just remembering, you know, try to appear human or something, you know, kind of ha ha ha, make a joke. But it's not really a joke because that's literally what he looks like. He looks like he's trying to continue to appear. Jared Kushner really looked like that. I mean, Jared Kushner and Peter Thiel both, I mean, they really look like they're hoping the makeup stays on. They're afraid it's going to just slide off at any minute and you're going to see scales or something. Scales or something under there. Lizard people. I don't know, man. You know, maybe something to that lizard. I don't. Just for clarification, because I threw this in here just because I thought it was funny. But to be clear, on a serious note, I don't believe in space aliens at all. There are other entities, though. I saw a deal here a while back because they're doing all this. The government all of a sudden out of the blue now, they're the ones pushing the UFO stuff. Back then, you know, back in the day, the UFO people were the crazy conspiracy theorists. And now it's the government telling everybody UFOs are real. Proof once again that if you live long enough, you will see the narratives complete the pole shift in narratives. And all of a sudden now it's the government going around going, UFOs, spaceships, aliens are totally real. And the conspiracy people going, it's a psyop from the government. It's all changed. But anyway, I saw a story that day, and I don't know if I need to wrap this up, but I saw a story the other day, and there was a Catholic priest up in Yankee Land somewhere, I believe, and he basically was doing an interview, and he said essentially the same thing I would say, So kudos on him for his truth speaking. He said, there are no space aliens. He said, any aliens you see are probably demons. They're demons. They're not UFOs. These are demons.
And they fired him. The Catholic Church fired his ass.
And I was thinking all the effort they put in for decades to cover up, transfer, and hide the crimes of homosexual priests. They always say pedophile priest. It was a homosexual thing. They went to so much effort paying people off, covering things up so they could keep these guys on. And you got this guy comes out. This is the truth. This is how you know you're getting on the truth. And he says, there are no aliens. There's demons. They bring an alien around talking about alien entities. They're talking about demons. And they fired his ass. If he'd have been diddling an altar boy, they might have got him a transfer. Hell, maybe he got a promotion. I don't know. But he made that statement. They fired his ass like that week. Not even like, oh, they had a hearing and that was said a long time ago. And they said there was some other things he done. That tells you something. Tells you something. I don't know. Don't be talking about my lizard people because they ain't no space aliens. I tell you what, you just bear that in mind. They ain't no space aliens. There ain't no space aliens. So when they get around, they hinting and wink winking at the public about their space alien, they ain't no space aliens. They're demons, though. These people are definitely probably in communication with some entities, but they ain't from no outer space. Anyway, we're gonna wrap up on that note. Drug on a little bit with that. Sorry. I still got lizard people in there, and that'll give me something good maybe I can use for the picture for the show, lizard people. I might do a clickbait title, too, and y'all be clicking on because you're like, I want to hear him talk about lizard people, and then you got to listen to the whole thing, and then you get lizard people. Lizard people at the end. So we'll see. Anyway, I'll wrap it up there. I do appreciate you tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed our conversation. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And as always, hope to see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.